Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Because we are at a perfect 70 degrees in the studio, it is my job to remind you that temperature control is definitely one of the most valuable resources one could have. And if you agree, then DFH Company is definitely the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222. Or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Look into our Mitsubishi Mini Split, or their Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use in our studios for that hard-to-heat or hard-to-cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
All right, and I got a couple things here. Just kind of checking out. Which one here?
Okay. Okay. While you're doing that, let me
I'll get it before we go to break.
Okay.
Let me have Brian. Brian, shoot me the one I'm supposed to do. I'm confused here, and then I'll get it before we go to break.
I will say this right now. Also, one extra shout out: the Four Pegs Specialty Burger. You know, this is Burger Week, where all restaurants that are participating, they have their specialty burger. For $6, the Four Pegs Burger is actually the Four Pegs Burger. Third pound, black Angus, cheddar, kimchi, and house pickles burger is what they have today at Four Pegs. So let me definitely throw that shout out. Let me get this in here, too, while I'm here, instead of you doing the UPS. The athletes have trained and are in Tokyo, ready to compete for gold. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving you a shot to stand on the podium. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the United States meddling at least once this year. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits. If America wins any medal this year, that's 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all of the action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WLCL when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code WLCL for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbooks for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. So here's the thing.
Well done, sir.
Appreciate it, Steve. It's tough. You can hurry up and get back so you can have this job back.
No, listen. No, I was just looking, and there was a couple of them, and I was trying to figure out. I was like, okay, which one do I do today?
That's the one you were talking about Brian getting to you.
Yeah. No. That's trust me. It's fine.
I thought you were getting the UPS.
No. I will get the UPS though. Brian shot me a copy of it. I appreciate that. So yeah. I'll get that UPS.
To put a bow tie on the Greg Sankey comments. I mean, I think we all in agreements that, this is another positive step, another domino falling in the Mulligan talk. Because it's looking a lot closer to mulligan. Like I said, I'm using the word mulligan. I definitely know it won't be a complete mulligan, but evidence comes out, time period being factored in, you know, staff, players being factored in. I think we are – the fact that Will Wade is still coaching at LSU, I mean, and if he has – look, I'm actually going to be rooting for them because if he has a decent year, it's another, like, okay, he's still there, y'all. Like, come on
well,
now.
Well, I think one of the biggest things was, I mean, Rick Pitino becoming kind of a darling of March last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a story. People were excited. I was excited, you know? I mean, and it was like, but part of me was excited because I'm like, yes, good. I need everybody to know Rick Pitino is still out here coaching.
Right.
Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, and again, I mean, let's be truthful. You say mulligan, anything
outside of tournament yeah.
And we're going to yeah. count. Because, I mean, the fans are the most punished with this stuff.
Mm.
They really are. I mean, like, the coaches, you know, yeah, it's tougher to recruit, different things. But the fans, they spend so much money to fill these stadiums, to go on trips. We, as fans, we build our whole year. We do weddings around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this is – we love – sports is – a time for people to say, man, it has been a rough, crappy week at work, but you know what? For 2.5 hours here, I've got Duke and Louisville. I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, this is all I care about, you know, or whatever. And it's like, we've been the most punished. That's why I think Sankey's comments are true, too, because it's like, who's getting punished here, man? We're talking 4 years deep. Who are you punishing? Y'all ain't punishing. I mean, like, what? The punishment's over, man. And,
right.
And that's where you said he sounded a little bit like you could have put Louisville's name in there and said, that's Louisville's defense lawyer. And I'd have been like, yeah, it kind of is. I mean, but it's true. And I 100% agree with you.
Okay. So earlier you mentioned offensive line getting a little bit of love. Do you want to pivot into that football conversation? Because here's the thing. We are talking media days. We are getting to that, you know, Malik Cunningham on, you know, award watch lists. And, you know, we're starting to get more football vibe. Of course, SEC media day. I'm only worried about what Ole Miss is going to be talking about. I really have no other rooting interest right now in the SEC other than let me keep my eye on Ole Miss. And by the way, Steve, have you still been tweeting at Lane Kiffin?
I have. I've been shooting.
I hadn't seen him.
Random. Well, not daily, but I'll randomly just hit him with a nice little, you know, you ready? You know, Louisville tweet something out. Like the other day, Louisville tweeted something out about running the sprints and touching the line.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, you know, I made sure Lane Kiffin knew that we were. But, look, you want to hear the most loser thing ever?
I'm listening.
I'm kind of getting cold feet because I'm like, the more I look, it's getting that time of year
where it's going to make bulletin boards.
I think we can win. So now I'm like, look, I'm already in that.
So now it's not
that's college football.
It's not trolling anymore.
No, everybody, look, you're college football more than any sport because you're so hungry for sports. You know, you spend that last bit of July and August just. My team's ready. You know, like this is the year. You know, like,
right.
I don't know. We're going to shock the world, dude. We're going to win 10. You know, and it's like we're going to beat Ole Miss game one. Like, I mean, that's college football fandom to a T. But, yeah, I'm with you on paying attention because I do want to – well, media days is the kickoff to football.
Right.
I mean, that's why they changed it to what is it, the ACC kickoff and the
you will
whatever.
Listen, you need to make sure – that you don't have anything scheduled for the Kenny Klein sponsored Louisville Media golf outing, Steve.
Absolutely.
That is the most important event of your preseason.
We are doing a show from there, right?
We are absolutely doing a show from there.
Okay, because I've gotten a couple of the emails to play, so I'm going to respectfully decline to play. I even got a second email that I think everybody got for the people who didn't respond yet. That was like, hey, you know, basically, if you suck, don't worry about it. Like, it's handicapped. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, each team's going to have a sucky guy. so, you know, but yeah, no, I love that event. Yeah, I'll definitely be out there. And that's another one that feels kind of like, okay,
yep,
it's right around the corner. So, yeah. But yeah, so I'm into that media days, and then I start seeing things like the top five position ACC list.
Top five position ACC list.
Marcus, right now, who would you say is probably your starting offensive line? I would say Cole Bentley.
Yeah, there's three that have already been acknowledged as being.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the point I'm making is Bentley, Chandler, Reed, Hudson, those four, and then the fifth one, you know, we'll see. There's a few.
And they've been talking about a rotation, a big-time rotation.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he talked about it. It was so deep. So Hudson has already been recognized as one of the better transfers of the offseason. Then the ACC has now recognized Caleb Chandler as one of the top five guards in the conference. The ACC or the ACC network has also recognized Cole Bentley as one of the top five centers in the conference. We know what Trevor Reed has been, one of the top JUCO tackles coming out last year, a guy who's going to be on the freak list.
Right.
That will be at tackle. That's four guys right there that are getting acknowledgement. And I went through and looked, and they ACC Network broke it down into top five tackles, top five guards, top five centers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at that. Louisville has two. Only two teams have more. Virginia Tech has three, and Boston College has three.
Come on, Big Nail.
I know.
it's all coming down to you, because we know what last year's line coach, we'd be chomping at the bit.
and that's where I think, and that's where I kind of wanted to parlay this conversation into is – the defense has gotten a lot of hype. By the way, man, I read something this morning about a possible late addition to this football team, to this offense, that is just going to make you so happy. And I'm going to send it to you later.
Okay.
Yeah, at a skill position. And if you've got some of the Cardinal authorities and the rivals and stuff, you'll know too, and we'll get to that in the coming days. But the defense is something I think everybody's kind of expecting to be pretty good. But I think the story between now and football season is going to shift to this O-line. Because I think that there's a growing expectation for this O-line to be pretty dang good. When Coach Satterfield says it's the deepest O-line room maybe he's ever had, when I see two of my guys getting acknowledged as top five guys in the conference, when I see two of my guys getting acknowledged as number one and two, you know, three transfers and the JUCO, I'm kind of giving Trevor Reed last year because last year was his transfer year and he really, really played, you know. So, but he was a top JUCO. I think that there is a growing expectation that this line's going to be pretty dang good. And that may become the story in between now and football season.
This was a dramatic pause for a reason.
No, I know.
My dramatic pause is, at what point are you going to say that your offensive line is better than Ole Miss's?
Oh, I don't know, man. I'd have to do some research on Ole Miss's.
I know that. But here's the problem. To your point, Steve, the closer you get, the more you start saying things like that. The more you start saying, hey, I mean, we did get Auburn's offensive line coach. Auburn's line has always, you know, has always been known to at least hold their own.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a guy who knows the SEC.
Knows the SEC.
Knows the SEC style of play. Knows the SEC. And what I mean by style of play, there, go ask Jalen Reeves-Maven if there's a in-the-trenches style of play that differs in big-time SEC football.
I was watching that App State Tennessee game again. Coach Satterfield wants to run this football, man.
Yeah.
He really wants to be able to run the football.
Yeah, we got to get over that. That's as Louisville fans, we got to get over that. That is
No, not only get over it. This is your chance. This is your chance to beg for forgiveness. This is your chance to make right the wrong you did. And the wrong you did was your complaining, whining about Charlie Strong just 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
Yes, he ran the ball. Ball control, 24-17, game over, let's go home.
Yeah.
By running the ball, by being able to run the ball on third and five. To make the defense play defense the entire time. So this is your chance to re-embrace the running game. Because that man wants to run the football.
Well, you know what's funny? What's funny with you saying that, man, is that was what drove everybody nuts with Charlie.
Yes.
But it's also, I mean, we were winning at a high level.
And it was putting people in the league.
And I don't think it's the same style.
No.
Let me be clear. I do not think it's the same style. It's running the football, yes. It's two totally different ways of going about it.
Right.
So, yeah, so let me be clear.
Charlie was definitely downhill.
Yes, power football. We're zone running. We're ending around, you know, like I think receiver, Harold Watkins, those guys are going to get if the Syracuse transfer comes to fruition – that I was referring to earlier. I mean, we're talking about a major all-purpose guy at running back. So, like, there's straight from Babers.
And by the way, let me pass this along. This is just a little, you know, hey, when you say, hey, we gotta get used to it. Okay, with this stretch, y'all, like, please appreciate with the stretch style of run, you're going to get some lost yards. Like, it's a lot of people shooting the gaps, and sometimes they're going to get you in the backfield, you know, while it's, you know, somebody's going to guess right on defense. So that lost, you know, 3 yards because somebody gambled and shot the gap, like that's going to happen. So you kind of got to get used to that. But if that guy misses, this is why Satterfield says these are home run plays. You know, if a guy gets out of his gap and takes that gamble in our stretch play and misses – or doesn't get to the guy, these are some home run, like our stretch run is going to give you. Like, why do you think Javian put up those numbers like that?
Oh, yeah.
The quarter, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, these defensive players are really good that you're playing against in Division I college football.
Right.
I mean, they can make plays. Like, they can read your play and get it. But you've put your man in one-on-one.
Mm.
Either beat that man, don't make it, you know, or that guy doesn't read it right.
Yep.
And you're right, man.
We have one defensive step out of the play and a stretch run. And if our offensive line is like tied at the hip, you know, if they're really together, they can literally push you off balance, free up our running back, and the safety is the only thing left between him and pay dirt. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, people like the – when. So, when you see the 3-yard loss, oh, why'd you run it? No, they made a play. They took a gamble. They made a play. You know, you're going
to
see
it. And be willing to run at times when – yes, I'm talking to you, Madden guy. when you feel like it should be a guaranteed pass. You've got to be willing to – you know what I'm saying? Like, you might run it on 3rd and 6. You might run it on, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might, whereas, because you have to trust the offense. You have to trust the offensive coaches that they see what they like. If they run a play on third and six, you have to trust that they saw something.
Right.
Or trust your quarterback who is on the Maxwell Award watch, who's on the Davey O'Brien list, who's on, you know, you're going to have to trust the quarterback.
And your quarterback is empowered to run the ball, to make a play. Like he's not.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's not. In the learning process, they've made sure they didn't, you know, put handcuffs on Malik. But check.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Look,
but check it now, Malik.
Yeah. But if you can dump it off to Marshawn Ford, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Right. Yeah. Your running backs are sitting out there waiting. Throw it out to him.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, but it is nice to see some names start popping up. I don't know if you're getting this vibe, but reading some of the commentaries on Louisville and stuff seems like there's a, now maybe not on the national scale, like as far as playoff or anything, like not even close, you know, but
right.
There does seem like there's a growing buzz of like, maybe watch out for that Louisville team to be a little better than we were thinking. Like, you know, like maybe not even New Year's Six, you know, maybe not anything like that, but like, watch out for that team to end up with 8-9 wins. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
that's when the problem is, Steve, that's when we turn into harsh graders. Prime example. I just got a text. It says, if we have a top five guard and a top five center, Cunningham and Satterfield have no excuses for a sloppy offense. See, this is what it turns into when you start getting the expectation part, when you start getting that this team might be all right, then go ahead.
Well, I think there's a little bit of truth to that, though.
But that was my point with the loss of yards. To me, that's not sloppy offense. That's, you know, a 3-yard
loss. Well, yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm when I see sloppy, I'm talking turnovers and stuff like, yeah, but I mean, of course, that has nothing to do with your offensive line, really. I mean,
right. Yeah. Right. Listen, and we fought the good fight last year, but there were some times you just couldn't convince anybody that the offensive line, like I said, the graders of the offensive line, they look at it and they say, that pocket's clean. Malik, step up in the pocket. But they grade, that was an A-plus possession. Fans say, you know, oh, Malik's running for his life. It's like, no, he wasn't. He had more time if he stepped up in the pocket. You know, he was getting out of there. He was running too fast on the stretch plays, you know, instead of kind of working with the pocket. So, yeah, graders of the offensive line can see, no, we had a good offensive line last year. Not
100%.
Like, again, going to be a lot better this year. But led for, like I said, you don't – for those who say you had a horrible offensive line, it's like, no, Ledford doesn't end up in the Atlanta Falcons.
That's a great point. that's a great point. Like that should be a mic drop point right there. Like, y'all, look, the Atlanta Falcons don't take him if y'all's O-line sucked last year.
Right? Listen, two years in a row.
That dude's running that Louisville O-line straight into the ground. Let's take him.
We're literally going to take that guy
with the
worst offensive line in the ACC, and we're going to say, hey, you know what? We got a job for you at the Falcons.
Yeah. No, that should be a mic dropper. Like, y'all, end of story.
Right.
Point the blame elsewhere.
Yeah. Like, okay, this year, if you want to go – Bicknell or something, like, yeah, you can find a different way, but if you are one of those people who couldn't stop harping on how bad the offensive line is, the fact that the Falcons came and took Ledford means you were just wrong.
Yeah,
you were wrong. No, and you weren't looking. Yeah, you weren't looking into the details. Oh, okay, Steve, a couple questions before I get you out of here.
Yeah.
You said championship does end tonight.
I think so. Going back home, I mean, the way Phoenix kind of had that – Phoenix had
Giannis has
shot.
He has the look, too. He has the look.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly – I joked about Jordan War earlier and stuff, and there was some fun to that. But Giannis is making me eat my words.
Yep.
In this one, because I was like, Giannis is – well, and I don't know if it's – I don't think we saw this.
He's playing – you know, no, right. He's playing up to a high level. He's improved his play. His focus has gotten better. His, you know, his intensity has matched championship level intensity.
And his teammates are starting to feel it when I can't remember who it was through that. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, the Booker through the alley or Cameron Payne. No. Okay, you're talking about the alley oop. That was
the alley oop. Yeah. That they threw to.
That was from the guard. To Giannis.
Yeah, to Giannis. Yeah, not the one Giannis blocked. Even though
what's his name? Brian.
Even though I disagree with a lot of people on that Giannis block.
He's the most underrated guard, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Drew Holiday. Yep. See, I now let me just get this soapbox really quick. People that now look. I like LeBron. Everybody knows that. I like LeBron. But people that were – and I'm not saying LeBron's block wasn't better. I think it was. But people that are very dismissive of that Giannis block, I'm like, listen, two steps, was out of position, went straight up.
Risking his hand broke. That's how you get your hand broke.
Yeah, 7 foot DeAndre Ayton was already in the air, and he met him. Above the rim, and that was that block deserved. Like I do get aggravated when I get. Oh, I mean, come on! Like that block wasn't as good as people. Like, yes,
no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And again, the look on his face after the block is what stood out to me. It's LeBron did it a couple years ago. You realize LeBron's been doing it 16 years. Dude from San Antonio Spurs came down the middle. You remember that block LeBron had?
Oh, and you could white dude.
Yeah, you could hear the. It's funny you said the white dude. Look, I did everything I could, Steve, not to say the white dude, right? and then you're like, the white dude. Listen,
yes,
that block was like, I'm not taking no for an answer. You know, it was like that's how hard and LeBron, you put yourself in. In a legacy-altering position to have that dude dunk on you.
listen, Marcus, if Ayton punches that ball on Giannis and the Suns win that game, the series ended. It's over. It's done over. The Suns won in Phoenix. Giannis is like, look, then I'm going.
Tiago Splitter. Thank you, Texters.
Tiago Splitter. Yep, that's it. But I'm going, Giannis needs to just go robbing somebody. You know what I mean? Absolutely. You're 100% right. And my point with Drew Holiday was his teammates are starting to feel it. Down the stretch right there to throw that oop in traffic, they're starting to say, nah, Giannis going to take us.
Yep.
Like throw it up there, go get it, punch that ball. He's growing into a superstar.
He has the look on he realized, you remember we watched LeBron start doing the reading the books and he's going to exhaust anything in his power to win this championship and just not accepting no.
Yeah, win or lose the finals. Now, of course, if he wins, I think it really will. But I'm going to put a little different respect on Giannis' name from here on out as Steve Rummage for sure.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not going to let people do Middleton's really the man. No.
No, everybody has a guy who's really awesome. Right. Kobe has a Shaq. Jordan, LeBron has a Wade and a Bosh. I'm not doing that. You don't win titles.
LeBron even had a Kevin Love.
Right, Kevin Love.
Listen, go ahead.
I was going to say Larry Bird just because I don't know.
Did he hang up? Okay, let me check. Let me check the phone lines real quick. Yeah. Doc, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, Marcus, listening to you talk about, the dunk and blocking a dunk, do you think it's easier to block somebody who's trying to dunk with two hands as opposed to a one-handed dunk? I've always heard that punching it out on a two-handed dunker is a whole lot easier than trying to go up on somebody's dunk with one hand.
Oh, Doc, I appreciate the call. And Steve, you can speak to this. One hand is easier to dunk on somebody, but a one-hand dunk, you're exposed. And if they get it, all they got to do is barely tip it to mess up a one-hand dunk, right? Two-hand, you have more control.
But it's stationary.
Yeah, right. And you probably don't jump as high with the two-hand dunk. Unless you have good body plyometrics.
And so, but, I mean, unless you're one of those guys that can, with Glenn Robinson it or something, like, you know, can move it in the air, you know, whatever.
Right. Like, if you got two hands on it, you can move it to the side, or you can decide if you're going to go power and try to break somebody's hand or something. You know, you got more control with the two, but the one hand is riskier, but you can catch somebody one hand. Right. So I guess that's the best answer I have for Doc. Last thing before you get out of here, is there any TBT jealousy? You should have saw Charles.
Funny you asked that.
Charles comes in here. He does a dance, man. He has a dab to him. He has a dab dance, Steve. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I haven't, but I've saw it.
Yeah, right.
I know what he looks like. Yeah, I can see it.
He has kind of a dab slash running man dance, and he came in doing his stationary running man. We're going to the Sweet 16, baby. And I was like, damn it. And then, of course, he's saying we're going to Sweet 16. Can you imagine what my show would be like today if my TBT team was going to the Sweet 16?
Listen, I'll be honest. Here's my thoughts on that. It's one of those things. There's not a lot of jealousy of it, but I think I would have had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I couldn't even tell you. I'd be lying if I said I've watched 1 second.
You know, he said, oh, we beat Team D2. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, there's a team with a bunch of D2 players. It's called Team D2. And I'm like, I'm feeling incredibly disrespected. And so then he sees the pain in my face, Steve, and he's like, listen, it was such a sympathy. Like, Charles gave me such a sympathy. Hey, but man, that's really messed up what happened with Louisville. Why do you think that happened? I mean, is it because, you know, they thought they could? Charles, you know what happened. They wanted Russ and Siva and got their hopes up on that. And then they just bullied us out the tournament.
Yeah, that there is a few teams in there that when I read the roster.
Team D2?
Yeah, that's bullcrap.
Team D2? You let Team D2 in, and you didn't let Shane Behan in and Kevin Ware. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. Okay, Steve, get out of here. Enjoy more time on the lovely front of Orlando.
All right. Appreciate you guys, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Last commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Bill.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. So, early in the show, I was talking about my evening. I said, I was doing a circuit. I was kind of doing one of those, you know, like I said, shout out to Bungalow Joe's. It's very hospitable. I had a great time. And Roosters. Shout out to the gentlemen who were very informative and generous gentlemen who, you know, let me in on a few little things about my coworker. So, at this moment, we have one Don Yates in the building. Hi, Don.
Hi, Marcus.
I can see the nerves. I can feel them. The audience can hear the nerves coming through the airways right now. Okay, so Don, there's a problem. The other day, I made you a part of my joke, and I said, you know, through I could feel your feet through the entire building. Thus, I went on. It reminded me of my childhood and my mother. And I made a blanket statement about the heaviness of the way women walk. This happened, right? And I know when I say things like that, I get in a little trouble. The women, they don't like blanket statements, and I get it. I held firm, right, to the blanket women statement, right? Mm-hmm. Now, because of you, I have to apologize to every single woman that didn't like what I had to say about the heaviness of your walk. You want to know why I have to apologize?
Why?
Because apparently you are legendary for having the heaviest walk. Allegedly, come to the microphone. Allegedly, Dawn, you stomped a hole through the pier deck or something, and Matt Yates absolutely took a picture of it. I need answers. I need answers.
Twice.
Wait, what?
Twice.
Leave her up, Brian. Leave her up.
I fell through the pier.
You
twice.
Stomped.
Jock.
You stomped your feet through the pier, Dawn.
I didn't stomp. I was walking. I was carrying some things the first time.
Were you carrying bags of bricks?
Yeah. Yes. No. Let's just say it wasn't because of me. It was the quality of the dock. For two weekends in a row on two separate occasions. Somehow, Matt didn't fall through. Matt, the big giant.
Right, Matt.
Matt.
Yes.
I fell through. I think I fell through because my little petite foot aligned perfectly with the boards whenever I would walk.
Twice?
Twice. Twice in two weekends.
Leave her. Twice for two weekends in a row.
Yes. So the first weekend and then the very next weekend. And the very next weekend was whenever Matt did not help me out.
He just took pictures.
No, he got out the phone and started taking the pictures, which I will show you, because then he proceeded to post them on our Marina's Facebook page.
I heard
of people carrying me out. Who is this?
I know.
Who is this person?
I know. I will not divulge my inside source, but he is he knows you and he knows Matt well, and he had a good laugh, and we spent our evening in Roosters talking about Dawn and Matt Yates last night.
I'm going to be stomping around our little glorified trailer park trying to figure out.
When you get home, right.
You had me so scared.
Dawn, when have I ever? Brian, you know what Dawn reminds me of? You know how we always say at our interviews, we're going to open up our interviews with the tough question? And that sigh of relief that everybody has, like I'm just like, like Pat Forty. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing your side of the story on this one.
Me and my heavy feet. So you're welcome.
So it's not all women. It's just Dawn, apparently.
It's just me. Look, usually whenever I walk, I'm on a daggone mission. So
right.
I will continue on that mission.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Dawn. The lovely Dawn Yates explaining that she has a propensity for stomping through boat docks, you know, when she's not shaking the ESPN Louisville studios. So I do appreciate that. A couple more topics. I don't want to say huge topics, but this is one that I'm disappointed to be here. I'm not going to go into a deep thing because this is a rabbit hole that nobody wants to go down. And I'll just say this. By the way, Cam Akers just ruptured his Achilles tendon. I hate that for the Rams because I really wanted to see what Matthew Stafford was going to do in that one. I was kind of watching I was having to wait and see with Stafford. Like, okay, is it the Lions? Is it the Lions or is, you know, Stafford's been there quite a while. I was curious to see it. So that was disappointing things. Kendrick Perkins needs CPR. One other thing. I got to ask this to Brian as well. Brian.
Yes.
Is it time to cancel the Tokyo Olympics?
No.
No matter what?
No, it's the Olympics. They must go on.
I've been hearing too many stories about vaccinated people testing positive and getting pulled out of events and contact traced and all that stuff.
They're having an outbreak over there.
I know, but I'm hearing the stories of vaccinated people are testing positive. And I'm just like, if y'all are going to be in that bubble and vaccinated people testing positive is going to keep them out of Olympic competition. For the first time in my since this started, for the first time, I'm saying, if that's going to be the policy, then you might as well shut it down.
Yeah. We kind of felt like we were coming out of this COVID-19 phase and just, hold on.
Yeah, grab that. I don't want to hear anything in the background. Dawn's back there cussing me out. I can't believe you threw me out here and said that. Go ahead.
So I thought we were coming out of it. And then right after the All-Star break, it's like the Yankees and the Red Sox get canceled because of COVID-19. Then another baseball game was canceled because of COVID-19. Now we're starting to hear about it at the Olympics.
Okay, is there going to need, in just your opinion, and this is just general opinion. Like I said, I'm not going down a rabbit hole of COVID talk. In your opinion, the policy that even if you have been vaccinated, if you test positive, you not being able to play, is it the policy now? Like is it the policy that needs to be upgraded?
I was worried for a little while, too, because the U.S. Olympic basketball team, they were like, so-and-so's in health and safety protocol. And I'm like, is this COVID-19 related? I'm like, are we going to get our Team USA team out because somebody tests positive for COVID-19. But no, the policy.
But that's what I'm saying. Look, Texter, I believe Texas is about to say COVID vaccine or vaccinated people should be able to play anyway. And like, even if that's the case.
I think so.
Yeah. Even if that's the case, like the policy has to change because if vaccinated people can't play, then what are we doing?
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is like, if you've been vaccinated, it's kind of play at your own risk now.
Right. And the unvaccinated, listen, people know how, you know how I feel about this. If you are unvaccinated and you are, you know, if you test positive, you can't play, that is what that's what you did. You know, that's your choice.
The whole point of getting when the vaccinations started happening, that's when things started opening back up. So why should it be any different with sports?
My point. Yeah. And again, general point is, hey, if a guy makes his conscious decision to not get vaccinated and he tests positive and he has to do Chris Paul and he has to sit out his 3 or 4 games, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
penalize the player or not.
I was going to say,
you know, have the guy who caught COVID
yeah.
be the one that has to sit out, but don't make the other players.
Right.
Like
right.
we used to do. Like when we first started, it was like, oh, if you've been around the person, then you got to.
But yeah, if you're contact tracing vaccinated people in anything, if you are doing that, again, feel how you feel. I've made it clear from the beginning how I felt. I believe in freedom of choice. You know, that's just my general opinion.
I think it's going that way now. It's like, you know, go out at your own risk, do what you want to do.
But yeah,
by the way, though, the caller that's on the line, Kent, he was the guy from last night.
Ah, sorry. I wasn't going to call out my name. Kent, thanks for joining us today on 93.9. And I do appreciate the hospitality last night. Let me say that first and foremost. But thanks for calling in. What's going on, my man?
Welcome, Marcus. It's good seeing you out and about. I only did part of that. My other buddy, and I won't bring his name up so we don't have to let Don know who it was. he took care of most of it, though. But it was good seeing you out.
No, listen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Look, I'm going to find that Sports Illustrated I was telling you about, and I'll bring it by sometime when I get my hands on it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, please feel free. Listen, could you give the listeners a real quick rundown of what you saw on the image of Don going through the pier board?
I can't tell you that because that's not mine. That was my buddy's.
That's his story to tell?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't see it, so I can't speak about it. He told me about it, and then he went over and talked to you about it. So I honestly hadn't seen it, so I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Fair enough. So what say you? Is it going to be another Nolan Lake weekend?
Probably not this weekend. Maybe the weekend after.
Listen, again, I appreciate the conversation and the hospitality from the entire table. Yep, I definitely speak on behalf of myself and Pops Dwayne. I do appreciate that.
All right, Marcus, take care.
Yeah, absolutely. Kent joining us, like I said. Hey, listen, I wasn't going to say names. And
we still don't know the mystery person that's been the storyteller.
No, he did say his name, I think. Oh, no, he said he picked up the – okay. Okay,
he said,
fair
I won't
enough.
Tell you who I was with that told the stories, but I was part of the group that paid your tab.
Oh, okay. He had an echo in the background a little bit, so I couldn't –
Yeah, I think he had his radio on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, that was funny. Like I said, I was out and about. I did have a good time, though. I'm going to get out a lot more now. I am going to get out the house a lot. And, Brian –
Especially when you get free meals, man.
Brian.
Must be nice.
Is there? I promise you, y'all. I talked about jobs earlier, about jobs that you have to be a little bit of a jerk to be, and how that's a terrible feeling. But, Brian, I got to tell you, man, there is nothing. Personally, like Marcus Maben feeling, there is nothing like the feeling of you don't have a tab. Like, when she said that, I was like, marry me. That's how emotional. Listen, that's the way to my heart. Be a waitress and come over to my table at the end when it's time to whip out those debit cards and credit cards and just say, hey, I think you're handsome, man. You don't have a tab.
Boom. The way to Marcus's heart.
That is the fast track to Marcus Maben's heart. Become a waitress. Tell me I'm handsome. And tell me there is no tab. Dun, dun,
good luck
dun,
with that,
dun, 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 dun.
Your Kroger stalker's listening right now. Listen, she's like, I'm buying notes. His next tab. That's on me.
Kenny Kroger, take notes. As always, 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is the text line. YouTube channel is made for the Ville. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.